Grab a chip and a chair. It's time for the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL. 92.5 FM, brought to you by the Best Bet Poker Rooms at Jacksonville and Orange Park. Now, the Best Bet Poker Show pals.
Happy Hump Day! Woo-hoo!
Yeah!
Hump Day!
Oh, yeah.
Hump Day!
Sometimes it creeps me out, I'm not going to lie. Welcome to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDill here with Jesse the Boss.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah!
Justin the Great and Country, of course, with us tonight. Boy, do we got a great show for you guys tonight. We have a really incredible guest. Steve Blay is going to join us here in the second segment. If you don't know who he is the founder of Advanced Poker Training. If you don't know about that site, we have a lot of stuff to talk about. So it's one of the he really is a pioneer in the world of online poker training.
Yeah.
And so we're going to get to talk with him tonight. He's going to share some of his expertise on Pot Limit Omaha as he has a new site. And I know we generally talk about hold'em strategies, no limit hold'em strategies, and predominantly that appeals to the masses. But since we do have somebody that's joining us, we figured we would spend a little bit more time on Pot Limit Omaha today. So,
it's a great idea.
It's going to be a good time.
Yeah.
All right. So lots of things happening in the gaming world as we kind of see the vaccine unrolling. We see restrictions being loosened in some places, tightened in other places for other reasons, and so forth and so on. But how about this story? The CEO of an Australian casino called Crown Resorts stepped down after authorities found the casino was facilitating money laundering with casino high rollers. The statement was released last week when regulators found widespread money. Now, this is in quotes. Widespread money laundering and governance issues. Crown is now undergoing audit with the authorities to, quote, unquote, fix the problems if the company wants to keep it licensed and continue doing business. So here's my question, you guys. If you're involved in money laundering, do you really need an audit to figure out what the problem is? Like, how do we fix the problem? Here. How about this? Stop it.
Stop doing it. Yeah. Hey, fixed.
It's the stop it.
How do we fix the problem? It. Well, we stopped doing what we weren't supposed to do.
Right. You remember the, Bob Newhart? Is that who it was with the stop it skit when he's like the shrink? I don't know. I saw that recently and he's like the girl saying something and he goes, you want to know how to fix it? It's no problem. Stop it. So I just thought that was a funny, if you're laundering money and you need to fix the problem, how about just don't do it anymore?
Yeah, just quit doing it.
Just quit doing
problem
it.
Problem solved.
Problem solved. All right, and the Silver State, i.e. Las Vegas, the governor of Las Vegas, has induced restrictions from the state's casinos on Monday. So they are now able to operate at 35% capacity, and that will go up to 50% starting in March. So,
they're only at 25% right now.
That's correct. Crazy.
35% insane, huh? Now.
Well, 35% now, yeah.
They're upping it a little bit at a time. So come March, we'll be at 50% in Las Vegas. But it's really interesting because so much of their, if you're in Nevada or in Las Vegas, just specifically in the city of Las Vegas, right? That's your industry.
That's
casinos,
it.
Casinos, right?
Yeah.
So their unemployment rate is something like 47% or
it's
something.
It's
got to
be huge. Yeah.
It's super high because so many people are out of work, and it's probably going to remain that way as long as as long as the casinos are operating less than full capacity and people aren't traveling. So. But it's good to see that those numbers are going up and people are, hopefully will be traveling again and supporting those. I can tell you this for sure. I have been getting the mailers from Vegas. They're like, hey, Bellagio's two free nights. The Cosmo's like, come spend a week. We'll take care of you, your family, and 17 other families you want to bring. Like,
they're like, hey, you're not gambling enough this year. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're like, hello, where have you been since 2019?
You get the one from the Bellagio says, we've noticed you haven't been here in a while.
Yeah, exactly. December of 2019. We were talking about that the other day, which is kind of weird because you think about, you take for granted how much we go back and forth to Las Vegas, right? Because you do it so frequently that it just becomes a standard business trip. And so having not gone, when you kind of reflect back now and you think, gosh, when was the last time I was in Vegas? It was December of 2019. That's over a year ago.
That is pretty interesting.
That's crazy.
And, I have gone back and forth to Vegas or lived in Vegas. I mean, when I didn't live in Vegas, I took at least two or three trips a year since I was probably 17 years old.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And not last year.
No, well, that's what I'm saying. It's just so bizarre. And, you know, the other thing, too, is it's funny because Las Vegas is kind of like, this is going to sound ridiculous, but Las Vegas is kind of like the Jacksonville airport. Like, have you ever been to the Jacksonville airport and not bumped into somebody that you knew?
No, I like, always, never. Every time
I
I'm there.
I always see some, I don't think I've ever been there and not seen somebody that I know. So
it's almost like you say, I wonder who's it going to be?
Yeah, who's it going to be? And when you go to Vegas, you always bump into somebody that you know.
Always, yeah.
From somewhere. So, I mean, it's effectively the same thing. But So I'm looking forward to getting back to the Silver State. Happy to know that those casinos are starting to rev back up. And, you know, we're happy to hear all of that. So there's been this crazy weather ripping through the country, right? How about this? So casinos are opening in Vegas, but when we talk about casinos in Oklahoma, 9 of them are closing. They closed their doors on Monday, stayed closed through today. They were going to try to reopen today at 1 o'clock. They did not do that. They extended that. And the reason is to conserve power across the states that are being affected by all the power outages from the storms, right? The ice and the snowstorms in Texas and Oklahoma. So they're on a power grid that controls energy that goes to Oklahoma, Texas, Arkansas, Kansas, New Mexico, Louisiana, Missouri, South Dakota, North Dakota, Montana, Minnesota, Iowa, Wyoming, and Nebraska.
I didn't realize the power grid was all those states.
So 9 Oklahoma casinos closed to reserve power for those areas that are affected by the storm. And they're closed at this point now. We don't know when they're going to reopen. Right. They were scheduled to open today, and they're staying closed. So that's pretty impressive. Like, I feel like it says something about that storm.
Yeah, it's big time.
That's a big storm. All right, and then my last fun little news article is, you know, we get so tired of hearing about these heads-up matches, and my two favorite people in the world are coming together to play heads-up online on PokerGo, Phil Hellmuth and Daniel Negreanu.
On PokerGo.
They're going to be on PokerGo playing high stakes duel. The two of them are going to fight it out because evidently there was, it's probably like what most people want to see, let's be honest. Right?
Sure.
To put those two people together makes sense in a ring to play heads up. But evidently this kind of started when Phil Hellmuth came out and said that he was disappointed in Negreanu's play when he was playing against Doug Polk. And so it created kind of a Twitter riff. As we know, all fights now start on Twitter. Like, if it didn't start on Twitter, was it even a fight?
Did it even happen?
Did it even happen? Right. So now these two are coming together. It'll be on PokerGo, and we can watch it on High Stakes Duel. They have not announced exactly when it's going to happen, but we will look for more of those details and, of course, follow, and I'm certain watch, because that's what we do.
I think this is a great idea. Hopefully we get whole cards this time.
It'd be nice if we get whole cards. Yeah.
Like I said a couple times before,
be, right?
If they're going to be on PokerGo, I think there has to be whole cards.
Because they'll be in the studio, and like it wouldn't make any sense for it to be any other way.
Daniel's like, I'm not giving Doug Polk my whole cards, but Hellmuth, yeah, whatever.
Right, yeah, no threat.
Well, again, I think it's kind of like a publicity thing.
It seems more like a publicity thing,
but I still think it will be really fun, good poker to watch.
Yeah, as long as they're actually playing for real money, right? It has to be real.
Yeah,
you know, as we've said before, you can't play poker for toothpicks.
For pretzels.
For pretzels, right? It just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be real money involved.
Agreed.
Otherwise, it's not authentic. Hey, here's a funny tweet that kind of coincides with this. This was from Matt Waxman a few days ago. I don't know if you saw this or not. It says, if you haven't been following poker for the last 2 years, here's what you missed.
Oh, nice.
guy cheats people out of 6 figures on live streams while watching his crotch, right?
Apostle.
Staring at his crotch. WSOP completely in the gutter, but everyone still plays.
Truth.
And then the last one.
I love this. This is a great tweet.
Last one. Negreanu paid Doug Polk $1.2 million to stop making fun of him.
He nailed it. He totally nailed it.
Right?
That's fantastic. Who tweeted that? Matt Waxman.
The poor spectators had to watch 25,000 hands for him to do it while he did it.
Oh, my gosh.
Right. Without whole cards.
Yeah, without whole cards.
Right, which is the worst part.
He should have. I mean, he might as well have shown whole cards so we have a little bit better sweat. because the results probably would not have changed.
The whole thing was a disaster.
It was just an absolute disaster. That's why I was like, it's funny that it's now, are we going to just run into this whole like heads up battle from now indefinitely? It's just going to be the next person, the next person. It's actually, I'll tell you what's funny is Jesse had mentioned something and I thought he said that Fam was going to play Helmy with heads up. I go, what?
That would be awesome. Johnny, if you're listening.
I was like, Johnny Fam is going to play Helmy with heads up? Like, why would he? What is he doing?
Put the whole roll on the table.
All right. Well, we know that, of course, as you guys just had the Greater Orange Park open this past weekend. What a tremendous turnout over at Orange Park.
It was awesome.
You know, people, we always talk about the tournaments that happen over in Jacksonville, and we know that Jacksonville stands on its own. You guys crowd the house over there like it's pretty simple. And a lot of people think of Orange Park as being like your secondary property, but it's really not. And it's huge. It's beautiful. You have over 40 tables. And this weekend, you guys were full spread, meaning not a table left.
Nope.
Nice and socially distanced. I want to remind people, when I say that, it sounds like you guys packed the house, but you have plenty of space.
We were busy, but we have plenty of space.
Right, you have plenty of space, so people are spaced out. They're having a good time. You have this tournament. You get 231 entries for a $300 tournament with over $57,000 in the prize pool, putting first place over $13,000. That is strong.
First place was even higher than that. I don't know what it was due to be, but they did chop it a little bit for second and third. But it was a great turnout.
And you guys had two local people, Diane and Mike, husband and wife, who play, if you guys, DePascal, if you play in the card rooms, you would know both of them. They took, was it fourth and fifth, I believe?
Fourth and fifth, Diane and Mike, great job.
Yeah.
Kind of cool having both make the final table.
Yeah, it's a nice shout out to them. It's so fun. You know, it's always... it's a good time if you make the final table with your buddy. Like people, I feel like if you're traveling together, if you know somebody in the tournament, it's always a fun goal.
Right.
To end up there together, to share that experience, right?
And that's since really great. Since Diane obviously plays a little bit more than Mike, great job, Mike. You beat her one spot.
I feel like you're just cheering for him because he's the husband. Like
maybe.
All right. On that note, that's what I got for you. In the news, that's what's happening. We have a great show. As I mentioned, Steve Blay is going to join us when we come back. He's a pioneer in poker training, online poker training. He's pretty incredible. He runs advanced poker training. We got lots of stuff to talk about with him as we come back. Plus, we have a $50 tournament voucher to give away to one lucky listener. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more of the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
You're listening to the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDill here with Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great, and Country. I feel like it just keeps rolling off the tongue even better every time I say Dustin the Great. It just makes me happy. All right. We're about to talk some PLO strategy. We're going to talk to a pioneer. What a gentleman who's been a pioneer in the poker industry, especially leading the way through poker training via online. So it used to just be books and handwritten stuff. But Steve Blay has really been the gentleman who came together and created software that made it possible for all of us to study and improve our games the way that we did. So realistically, he is effectively one of the largest contributors to part of the poker boom. So let's bring him in. Hey, Steve, how are you?
Hey, Allie, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for calling me a pioneer. I've never been called a pioneer at anything in my life.
Well, you know what? You're also, this was something that I realized today that I didn't know, is that you are a native Jacksonville Floridian.
That is correct. Yeah, I was born in Jacksonville. I lived there till I was about 10, and now I've lived all over the state. I lived in Miami for a while and Orlando And now I'm right over in Gainesville, which is nice because it's literally an hour and a half door-to-door to Best Bet Jacksonville. In fact, I get to Orange Park even a little bit quicker, but I usually go over to the Monument Road property. So hour and a half door-to-door.
Yeah, we love that. It's not too bad. It's a nice little drive. Gives you time to like decompress, maybe think about your session, plan out what you're going to do before you get here on your way. It's your training session is your drive time door-to-door, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Perfect. I love it. So, you know, when I call you a pioneer, I mean, because you really are, right? So as I'm looking through and we're talking about some of the things that you've done, in 2012, you were awarded a patent for your dynamic analysis to improve the play of computerized poker opponents, right? So I guess that's a big mouthful of what it was that you created and did. So can you talk a little bit about what that means to have that patent, and where did this idea come from, and what does that look like from your standpoint?
Yeah, so without getting too technical about it, I mean, obviously, as you know, poker is really a rich game in the sense that it's even more difficult to teach computers how to play poker than something like chess. I mean, chess is a great game and obviously a really difficult game, but for a computer, chess is kind of trivial because there isn't that hidden information. Everything is right out on the board there, and there's nothing the computer can't see. Whereas computers really struggle with a game like poker because of those hidden hole cards. So teaching computers to play poker at a high level, and especially to analyze it and be able to give, one of the things on my website is not only do I have bots that play against you, but they also give you advice while you're playing against them. And so getting a computer to give you advice as to when to bluff and, all these skills of check raising and slow playing and stuff like that, that is really difficult for a computer to know how to do. So that's what I worked so hard on. And that's what I got after several years of work, got the patent on in 2012, like you said.
That's really a great point, that the difference between chess and poker, where there are no unknowns in chess. You see everything right in front of you, or poker, you always have the unknown variable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So people don't think, because obviously chess is a really difficult game, and no one would say that chess isn't difficult. But to a computer, chess is kind of trivial just because the pieces are all right there. All it has to do is, think of, obviously there's millions or billions of different moves in a chess game, but a computer has so much processing power available to it that really thinking through billions of different chess moves is not that difficult for a computer. And that's why for 20 years now, the best chess playing computers have beaten the best chess playing humans. Everyone remembers back in, back around the year 2000 when Garry Kasparov lost to the Deep Blue from IBM. And since then, computers have always beaten humans at chess. But in poker, that's not the case, as you know, because poker is just a little bit more tricky. It doesn't come as naturally to a computer.
Is it MIT that has the AI that had Cerberus and all the AI bots that they put out to try to train and see which players could beat up? Which university was that? Do you guys remember?
I don't remember which university it was, so I'll be honest with you. What was it called?
There was like Cerberus. They had like two or three different. I mean, I feel
all
like
I know is we were supposed to try to get a hold of them, and I wanted to play them. I just want to play the computer.
Well, here's what you can do. You can go to advancedtraining.com and play the computer on Steve's website. How do you feel about that?
I like it. If I can beat a computer on Steve's website, then maybe somebody will say, okay, now. Because I've always said, I think I can beat a computer heads up in poker. I couldn't beat one playing chess, obviously, but.
It's kind of a weird concept, right? And I don't really know. Whether or not you could. I do feel like we should try that. I would definitely take action on that.
Ship it,
right? Yep. Yeah, no problem taking action. So, Steve, if we, so you have this patent. Were you the first, did you have the very first online poker training site available to the masses?
I did not. So there are some other training sites that mostly just have videos you can watch, that kind of thing. Poker training went from books originally, of course. You got Super System, you got Mike Caro's Book of Tells, that kind of stuff, and then it went into poker videos. I believe I have the first training site, though, that has, my training site has, as I mentioned, virtual poker playing opponents, or bots, as we call them, of course. Mm-hmm. And the fact that the bots not only play against you, but they also learn how you play and try to beat you and then give you advice. So we have 28 different advisor bots you can use while you're on the site, who will also tell you what you did wrong and recommend plays to you. And so I think that's the main thing that I think I was the first to have for No Limit Hold'em, is bots that can actually work with you and teach you what you're doing wrong. And then afterwards, look at your statistics with you. When you play on advanced poker training, every hand of poker you play is saved forever to your own database. your own online database on there.
Yeah, that's nice.
So all once you've played on there a long time, let's say you played a million hands of poker, you can really go through all those hands and see, okay, which hands am I not winning enough with? Why am I losing money with ace-queen? I shouldn't be losing money with ace-queen. So let's look at all the times I played ace-queen and see what I did wrong here. Let's play another feature on the site. You can just get it to deal you whatever two cards you want over and over again. So I'm going to have it deal me ace-queen 100 times in a row, 1,000 times in a row, so I can train just on ace-queen to figure out what I'm doing wrong with ace-queen or pocket jacks or whatever it might be that you're having trouble with.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really absolutely incredible. And I think it's such a great tool that is underutilized. And I don't know if that's because most people don't know that that's an option for them, but it's such a great tool to be able to log into a site where all the bots and everything is set up for you, where you can just play and know that you're going to get that feedback versus like jumping into a place where, you know, everybody's kind of playing. And as Jesse mentioned earlier, if you're not playing for anything, people don't really play according to, you know, it doesn't simulate a real live game, which means when you're trying to hone your craft in poker, it makes it very difficult if you're not controlling those variables effectively, right? Because people are doing things that they would never normally do, which means you're not actually getting true results. So this is really fantastic. Talk a little bit about 2017. You wrote a book on how I won the World Series of Poker main event with Kui Nguyen. So talk a little bit about what that looked like, because I feel like this is such an important part to your website and speaks and attests to your brilliance and what you've done here with advanced poker training.
Oh, boy. I mean, that was the greatest thing that could ever happen to any poker player, except maybe winning the World Series of Poker main event myself. So Kui Nguyen, as you all know, you know, when he back in 2016, they had the November 9, where the final table would, the final table of the main event would wait until November to play off. And so you'd have kind of a 4-month break there in between the actual main event, which took place during the summer, and then the final table of the main event in November. And so during that time, PokerNews.com called me up and got me to do a simulation of the final 9 players that were left and to take everything we knew about their playing style and anything else we could find out about them and make bots for each one of those 9 players and run simulations on who was going to win the main event. And so I did this, and the simulation kept saying over and over again that Kui Nguyen was going to win the main event. So they published this on Poker News, and of course the word got out to Kui Nguyen and his family, and eventually at some point they called me up and said, okay, Mr. Smarty Pants, you really think, you know, Kui is going to win this thing? We're going to fly you out here to Vegas and tell us why he's going to win it. So I went out there and found out really that, yeah, I expected to be going out there and doing some training Kui. I found out actually that Kui was not the amateur that they had made him out to be in all the stories, that he was an exceptional poker player, an incredibly street smart, savvy poker player. And so my role really was just almost, you know, I call myself just his poker advisor. I was there at the final table with him on the rail, just kind of going through hand histories and watching the, you know, of course it was on a 30-minute time delay, so watching some of the hands and advising him a little bit on what his opponents were holding on the previous hands. But of course, you know, the rest is history. He won $8 million that day. And it was just, it was every poker player's, again, if I wasn't going to win the $8 million myself, being there on the rail and being on his team, it was the greatest thrill any poker player could hope for.
You know, I can imagine in part what that's like, right? Because when we had Tony Miles, who made the final table, what was 2000, what was it, 17? Like 17? Was it the following year?
Yeah, was it 2018? Was it 2 years after that? Yeah.
It was really close to that. So, you know, we were there and in the throes of that and dealing with the coverage and watching him and, you know, being his support rail and being there, just railing the whole time, even as he makes it down to heads up. That was the first year, I think, that they dropped the November 9. And it was so remarkable. So, you know, having put this together, making that prediction, and then really kind of helping him facilitate and bringing that to fruition is just, I can't even imagine. It's just really remarkable. So congratulations to you on that. And I think that that really attests to what you've done with your site and speaks to how wonderful it is. And if you're really looking to try to increase your poker skills, this, you know, this is definitely a place you want to go. So advancedpokertraining.com is where you can go. And I do believe that if they go, if we have our listeners that go to that site, they go to advancedpokertraining.com, or if they go to omahapokertraining.com, we're going to talk about that here in the next segment. If you plug in best bet as your offer code, you will get 25% off of the fees. And so do you want to talk a little bit about what people could expect to see if they want to go to your site, sign up, and start a training process?
Sure. Well, yeah. Well, first of all, of course, they can go. They can try out the site for free. You know, you can get access to some of the features just if you want to get the paying account where you get access to everything. That's when you can use the offer code best bet to get to that. But both advancedpokertraining.com and Omaha Poker Training have some of the same features. There's more features on advancedpokertraining.com just because I've been working on that site for 10 years now, or maybe a little longer than that. But on both sites, you're going to be able to play all the hands of poker you want against bots of different skill levels. So you can work your way up the skill levels. And as you play against them, as I said, you're going to get advice from them on what you're doing wrong. You can, after a playing session, go look at, you'll get a report on that playing session. You get a weekly training plan. It goes over, you know, it goes through your database and sees what kind of mistakes you're making in general, sees what kind of hands you're most struggling with. So much, there's really just so much, it's hard to even begin talking about it. Advanced Poker Training has Beat the Pro challenges, which are these challenges where you're going to play the exact same hands of poker that some pros have already played. So we have pros on there like Jonathan Little and Mike Caro and Scott Clemens, people like that, that have already played these hands. And you'll get to play those exact same hands with the same hole cards that they already played. And then afterwards, you can listen to a audio replay of them going through the hands and explaining why their way of playing the hand was preferable to the way you played the hand. So,
really cool. Yeah, I was wondering what that was, the Beat the Pro challenge. I was like, did they just call up Scott Clements and say, hey, what are you doing tomorrow? We got a challenge? Get out of bed. It's time to play.
Yeah, it was like, because he has all kinds of time to do that.
Right. I couldn't figure that out. But that is really cool that you just play a simulation of what they played. Mm-hmm. And then listen to them and hear how you did. That's great.
That's fantastic.
Yeah,
I'm excited.
So Scott and I, you know, we recorded all those out in Vegas one time when I was out there, and you know, it's all pre-recorded. But of course, they played those same hands against the same bot, so the exact same thing that's happening to you happened to them as well. So, and we've got
awesome.
A bunch of those. There's over 30 challenges. David Williams is on there. Alex Fitzgerald, Kenna James did a few of them. And we have these things called combat trainers as well, where, again, it puts you in a very specific situation that you're having trouble with. So, you know, a lot of people just, for example, get stuck when they, let's say they raise pre-flop with ace-king and then they miss the flop and they just don't know how to proceed from there. Well, the combat trainer will just put you in that situation over and over again. So you start right on the flop, you've got ace king, and it's going to, you know, it's like your worst nightmare. It's always going to deal you a flop where you totally miss the flop, and then you have to play it from there. But, you know, it lets you practice these tough situations that you get into that, you know, the repetitive practice. I mean, poker is like anything else. It's like going out and being a good football player or tennis player or whatever. Just the repetitive practice of these trouble areas so that they aren't so daunting when you actually encounter them in real combat, when you're playing in a real game, they're at best bet. So
I love it. Steve Lay is on the line with us. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, he's going to remain with us and start talking a little bit of strategy, especially pertaining to PLO. Hang out with us. We'll be right back with more of the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
It's the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDeal here with Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great, and Country. And of course, we have very special guests on the line with us, Steve Blay, who is the founder of PokerTraining.com. He is a pioneer in online and just poker training in general. And we're so happy that he's joining us tonight. If you if you're just joining us, you missed the unfortunate time of listening to how he came into this site and really what they do, how they train some of the greatest professional players in the entire world. And, and just all the things that he has to offer. So you can head over to advancedpokertraining.com to find out more information about what his site has to offer. But Steve, we're going to kind of talk a little bit about, we know our listeners generally hear us yakking all the time about Hold'em because this is predominantly the most mainstream game. There is a lot of Pot Limit Omaha players here in Jacksonville, especially over in the Orange Park location. I know that they have games there every
single day.
Mostly
in Jacksonville
now. Oh, mostly in Jacksonville.
Mostly.
Now, so.
Yeah, but both locations still have a lot of PLO. We've been really a lot of PLO games.
And you have some really incredible content on your site, specifically dealing with Pot Limit Omaha. So, I'd like to start some dialogue specifically. First I'll give a rundown. Like, if you're familiar with poker and you're familiar with Texas Hold'em, per se, and you get two cards in your hand, Omaha is going to be very similar. You get four cards in your hand, and you have the flop cards, the turn, and the river. You have to use a combination of two in your hand and three on the board. So the dynamic changes a little bit. There are some rules to follow. But that is the gist. You play high, you play low, and
straight
some
high.
You
this
play
is,
straight high.
This, right.
So in this particular game, we're going to play straight high only. So talk a little bit about if somebody's wanting to get in and start playing PLO, Pot Limit Omaha, what are some tips that you might offer to them as a first-time player in this game?
Okay. Well, so first of all, yeah, if you've played No Limit Hold'em, that's great. I mean, that's 99% of what you need to know. As you mentioned, Allie, there's really just a couple rule differences. You've got to know that you always have to play two out of your four cards in your hand. And that sounds pretty easy, but the first once or twice or five times you play it, you're going to mess that up if you've never played PLO before and you're going to think you have a straight when you don't actually have one or think you have a flush when you don't actually have it. So always remembering you have to play exactly two out of those four cards in your hand and three of the board cards, and that's it.
So when you're talking like Omaha, so like let's just say you get pocket aces and pocket kings. Is this a good hand?
Yeah, so that's a great hand. I mean, that is the best starting hand in Pot Limit Omaha is pocket aces and pocket kings, especially if it was double suited. So if you had ace king of hearts and ace king of spades, let's say. So it's still a great hand, but you could not play all four of those cards at the same time. So you'd have to, you're hoping to hit an ace or a king on the, it's kind of like having two ways to flop a set is what you've got there. And, your aces or your kings could hold up. As long as you have pocket aces to begin with, and regardless of what your other two cards are, one similarity between PLO and Hold'em is that pocket aces is always going to still be favored over any other starting hand PLO. So you're in good shape if you have pocket aces to begin with, even if your other two cards are junk.
Yeah, that's good to know. And the one thing about Omaha in general is the hand values seem to go up. So everybody's because you have four cards in your hand instead of two, even though you must use two of them. The hands that you make are always tend to be a higher ranking than in Hold'em, where, in Hold'em you frequently win with a high card or just one pair. Omaha, you tend to have to make a larger hand to end up winning.
Yeah, and that's where a lot of beginners get themselves stuck because they think, in Hold'em I got two cards, and Omaha I've got four cards, so maybe the hands are a little bit better. But it's only twice as many cards, right? How big a difference could that make? But of course, anyone that's played PLO knows that hands needed to win at Showdown are much, much stronger in PLO than they are in Hold'em. In fact, PLO is really a game of the nuts. You're trying to make the nuts. Anytime you don't have the nuts in PLO, you're always vulnerable and you're always playing a guessing game because your opponent is likely to have the nuts. So it's really... it's a game about making the nuts. Non-nutted hands are always a liability, PLO. You've got to be very careful playing them. So it's just one of the other main things that as a Hold'em player who moves to PLO, getting used to the fact that it takes a much stronger hand to win at Showdown in PLO than it does in No Limit Hold'em.
So it's basically means that, and for people that are listening, the nuts is a slang term, if you're not up with our slang terms, for the best possible hand. So if you're trying to make the best possible hand available in Omaha, you're trying to make the nuts, or you're trying to represent that you have the nuts, right?
And it makes sense, too, because when you think about it, right, if you're playing and everybody's getting four cards, more than three quarters of the deck is dealt out, right? If you have eight or nine players playing at four cards apiece, right,
it's
that's already
gone.
32 cards right. just being dealt. We're not talking about the burn cards and the flop cards, right? So realistically, like, more than three quarters of the deck is out. So that means somebody is
right.
going to
make the
nuts,
there,
right?
Somebody has
somebody
it.
Somebody has it.
So you either got to have it or represent it, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's where blockers come into play also. You know, blockers is another term. Most people are probably familiar with it, where you have a card that prevents someone else from having the nut. So the most common example would be if you're holding the ace of hearts and there's three hearts on the board. You don't have a flush, but you have a blocker to the nut flush. That puts you in a really advantageous position in PLO because nobody else can have the nut flush. And with so you can represent the nuts, and of course that's going to scare everyone much more than it would in hold'em, just because people know that in PLO you really need to, if you're going to go to showdown, let's say you were to three barrel with the naked ace of hearts or something, that's putting a lot of pressure on people who don't have the nuts because you're blocking it.
So do you think PLO is more of a strategical game by way of really like betting more or like betting, bluffing, pressing small margins, based on blockers? Because it kind of seems like that's kind of the trick, right? Like if you can steamroll over the table with specific blockers, knowing that you kill other people's hands, seems like that's almost like the greatest strategy to peel.
Yeah. You know, the way I would put it, Allie, is that, PLO, these concepts that we know about from hold'em just become that much more important. It's like PLO is like hold'em on steroids, kind of. I mean,
sure.
Blockers are important in No Limit, but you've got to pay attention to them in PLO or you just get killed. Position is another thing. I mean, people always say in No Limit, oh, you want to play in position, be in position. You know, position is important. Position can just, it can kill you. In PLO, it's like, being out of position is like having to play a whole extra street, pretty much, which is just like a disaster in PLO when you don't have the nuts. And so playing in position, if it's important in No Limit Hold'em, is like 10 times, like 100 times more important in Pot Limit Omaha. So
that's
paying attention to things like that are just counting your outs correctly. Again, pretty easy in No Limit Hold'em. Everybody knows that. A flush draw has nine outs and an open-ended straight draw has eight outs. PLO, you've got four cards to play with. You can have these wrap draws, as we call them, where you can have up to 20 outs to a straight. To a hold'em player, that may not make sense exactly, but a real easy example will be something like if you're holding, Jack 10, 9, in your hand and there's an eight and a seven on the board on the flop, let's say 8-7 deuce, something like that. Now you don't have a straight already because, as we said before, you can only play two cards out of your whole card. So you don't have a straight yet, but what you do have is about, 15, 16 different outs to make a straight on the next card. So these, when a really good draw in hold'em might be eight or nine outs. A really good draw in Pot Limit Omaha is like 20 outs. So it's just those same concepts from hold'em just taken to a whole nother level in PLO.
Which kind of is why the birth of, I guess, running it multiple times, running it twice happens when, one guy has top set and the other guy has a wrap and a flush draw. They figure they both have similar odds to win the hand, so they try to run it twice, I guess, to reduce the variance.
Yeah, exactly. And, that's the crazy thing about PLO is you just talked, that's a great example there. One player has top set, let's say, on the flop. The other player has this wrap, straight, flush draw. you know, the guy with the rap draw is probably actually favored there. That's the strange thing about PLO is you can actually flop the nut and be a big underdog, which would never happen to you in Hold'em. So if a guy with a huge draw like that, you flop top set or something, you're coming from a Hold'em background, you're thinking you're feeling pretty good about it, and you could be like a 60-40 underdog or something like that to some guy with this massive wrap straight flush draw.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's an interesting concept that differentiates each game, Hold'em and Omaha.
Yeah, and I feel like for people that if this is your first time hearing about Pot Limit Omaha, and also if it's not and you play Pot Limit Omaha, I feel like those are all some really great tips. But if it's something maybe you want to dip your toes into, or maybe you want to give it a shot, or you feel like I don't really understand Hold'em, there's all these other opportunities to make hands in Omaha.
That's right.
I feel like we should be able to jump in there. But we're running out of time here, so thank you so, so very much. Thank you for joining us. Hold on, Steve. Jesse has
I got one quick question, Steve. Somebody asked us on one of the chats about the Madness Cup.
Oh, yeah.
Want to know really, really quick, what is the Madness Cup?
So the Madness Cup is this new, it's a heads-up tournament we have on advancedpokertraining.com we've had the last Madness Cup, we had 450 people enter it. So you play heads up against each opponent in a, it's kind of like a March Madness basketball bracket, sort of. You're playing heads up, but both of you are playing the exact same hand, kind of like what I talked about with those Visa Pro challenges. So Some of the element of luck is taken out because you're playing against your opponent, against the bots, actually, to beat the bots for more chips than your opponent did.
Oh, that's cool. That's a fun thing.
Yeah, that's super cool.
Most popular feature we've ever had on Advanced Poker Training.
So what is that called?
That's called the Madness Cup. They can come out and play that for free if they just go to advancedpokertraining.com and create a free account, and they can try that out for free.
Free Madness Cup. I'm in. I'm going to get in there.
You heard it from Steve Blay himself, founder, pioneer in online poker training, just poker training in general. Go to advancedpokertraining.com if you'd like to purchase anything. Use the offer code BESTBET. You'll receive $25 off of anything on either that site, or if you'd also like to check out omahapokertraining.com if you're interested in studying Pot Limit Omaha, just traditional Omaha. There's going to be some incredible things in there for you to access, some wonderful resources that Steve has put together. So thank you so much again for joining us tonight, Steve. We appreciate your time, and we look forward to seeing you here in Jacksonville at Best Bet very soon.
Thank you, Allie. Thank you, Jesse. Hope to see you guys over at the card room pretty soon.
All right, Steve. Take care.
Have a great night. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we got that $50 tournament voucher. We will talk about promotions and put a wrap on the show. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDill here with Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great, and Country wrapping up the program. All right, we have that $50 tournament voucher for you. As promised, that's going to come in handy for the Spring Series, which is kicking off March 18th. I'm certain there are some daily tournaments that you could play during that time or before leading up to that, but the Spring Series is going to very similarly mimic what we just had, which was the Winter Open. And it was a really fantastic series. You can get all your information at bestbetjacks.com. But I want to make sure you get that $50 tournament voucher. So 641-1010 is the phone number. 641-1010. And we will take the third caller right now in honor of March being the third month. There you go. Okay, lots of – look at – do you see what I did there?
I see what you did.
You see what I did
there?
Yeah,
that was good.
Thank you. I'm very proud of myself. Okay, so lots of stuff happening this weekend and, of course, throughout the rest of the month at both properties for high hands. This Friday at both Jacksonville and Orange Park, there are $1,000 high hands every hour from 2 p.m. until midnight. That is strong. So you can be at either location, and whoever has the best hand throughout that course of time in those 60 minutes, you're going to pick up $1,000. Wonderful high hands. It means there's great action at both card rooms and plenty of stuff to do. If you're not a big poker player, maybe you want to have a date night out. Maybe take your girlfriend. Maybe take your mom. Take your boyfriend. Your husband. Maybe take both your husband and your boyfriend. I don't know.
Whatever works for you.
Just make sure that it's civil when you arrive, please. And, you know, but there's some great games that are just fun for people to play that you don't need any knowledge, right? So we have games that are fast, blackjack-style games, Las Vegas-style games. No blackjack, but there is one-card poker, two-card poker, three-card poker, Ultimate Texas Hold'em.
Redfish, bluefish.
Redfish, bluefish, right. There's, I lost track, there's Pygao, High Card Flush. What else did I miss?
DJ Wild.
And DJ Wild, and I think that covers just about all of them.
I think so, you got them all, yeah.
So there's just an array of games that you can walk in, ask the dealer. You can sit down and bet as little as $5 at a time. And it's really just a wonderful time. So have some sushi.
They're a lot of fun and no pressure. Easy to play.
Yeah, and it's just a great time. So if you're looking for some entertainment in a safe environment, there's masks are required, temperature checks upon arrival. Of course, hand sanitizer and making sure that everybody is socially distanced. There's plenty of space. People are spread out. And it's really great. So if you're looking for some entertainment, there is no better time than the present to head to Best Bet Jacksonville or Orange Park, play a little poker or any of those casino-style games. You can go to bestbetjacks.com for all your information. Real quick shout out, there is a 2-2 no-limit stream that will continue directly after the show, so stick with us. That's going to do it for us tonight, but End of the Night with Rick Ballew is coming up next. For Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great, and Country, I'm Allie McDeal saying, until next time, we hope to see you at the final table. I wanna hold them like they do.